read a few items from the index here to the State Board minutes for Cal Poly. This index covers from August 12, 60 through July 28, 1965. And the pages in the minutes were indicated, just some of them. Tenure rights to employees on 65. The Enabling Act, updated, 70. Appointment of President Julian A. McPhee, 77. Acquisition of property, KV, 177. Approval of the appointment made by President San Luis Obispo. Approval of the appointment made by President San Luis Obispo, 185, 217, 311. Application from trustees for use of campus as temporary headquarters, KV, 192. Approval of the campus master plan, San Luis Obispo, 567. Salary differential for faculty, 687. Campus master plan approved, San Luis Obispo, and KV, 862. Academic master plan approved, San Luis Obispo, KV, 894. Approval for revision of the campus master plan, San Luis Obispo, 1034. Another item under Chancellor, the appointment of Glenn S. Dumke appears on 303. Reading the resolution that was passed honoring McPhee's retirement on June 1 and 2, 1966 at San Luis Obispo. Title, Resolution Honoring Dr. Julian A. McPhee, in parentheses, capital RMISC, 66-04, in parentheses. Whereas, comma, Dr. Julian A. McPhee, comma, President of California State Polytechnic College, comma, has announced his retirement and, capital, whereas again, comma, his retirement, comma, after 33 years as the president of the college, capital C, and 41 years as an educational leader in this state, comma, is cause for recognition of his outstanding contributions to the state colleges, both capitalized, public education, comma, and the youth of this state, semicolon, and, whereas, comma, he has pioneered a philosophy of education which has emphasized the useful application of knowledge, semicolon, and, capitalized, whereas, WHEREAS, comma, the value of this educational philosophy has been recognized by countless legislators and lay and professional persons, semicolon, and, whereas, comma, he has exercised outstanding qualities of leadership and administrative ability in building two great institutions of higher learning, semicolon, now, comma, therefore, comma, be it resolved, capital resolved, back again another paragraph, comma, by the Board of Trustees of the California State Colleges, comma, that the members, capital M, honor and give special recognition and appreciation to Dr. Julian A. McPhee on this occasion, OCCASION, comma, and wish to express their warm and sincere best wishes to him and his gracious wife for their continued good health and happiness, comma, and look to him for many additional years of valuable advice and counsel, COUNSEL, period. It's interesting to note that there's a resolution honoring Dr. Glenn Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L-L, the same day. In the minutes, these appear on page 1297 and 1298. Also here in the library, I have a coordinating council agenda and minutes starting in 1962, the coordinating council for higher education in California, and the staff reports. Sure been helpful on getting
well, you very well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just wondering how you viewed some of the whether Cal Poly's curriculum really was that unique or whether it was being forced in this transition period to change considerably, or whether McPhee used this as more of an identification point for Cal Poly or what.
In other words, you want my opinion.
Yeah, right.
You don't want any facts.
Not necessarily, no. Yeah,
facts.
Right. I've gathered a lot of facts and material, so unless there's some that you think I ought to be aware of, but
let me begin by saying that, and I'll make some stipulations
yeah,
about all that.
Right.
But I think, it's good in McPhee's style of education, which some people call the upside down program, which he called the parallel.
Yeah.
And that the average person calls an applied kind of education, I believe is the greatest contribution that any of the state colleges have made to higher education. I put it that way in part because I think that the progress of state colleges over the years has been mainly in terms of quality rather than change. But in the case of Cal Poly, there was something different. I'm not saying it's entirely unique because there are programs similar to it. But it had an idea, his idea of learning by doing, which again is not new, but which had an awful lot of charge in it, because he was devoted to the notion. He gathered around him people that believed the same way he did. He was sufficiently isolated so that he could go about his business without interference. He always maintained a very effective relationship with state government, and he was absolutely tireless. A lot of energy, a lot of industry, and he was always working, except he slept. As a matter of fact, this was his only real interest, mm-hmm. as I perceive. Was the college.
Yeah.
But the kind of program that he developed, I think, has been, can be measured in terms of its success to a considerable degree. I like to measure any program in terms of the product. And his students have just done very well.
Right.
Now, not in every field by any means. And some of the humanities, social sciences, they're building now at Cal Poly virtually from scratch. Because what they had there was incidental to the major program. But I think that that he was able to carry forward this plan of his, to implement it for a period of time that's almost unheard of in higher education, virtually 40 years, and in a situation in which you've got that strong a man who is absolutely convinced of the merit of what he's doing, with all the support he got throughout the state, throughout the country, that just makes for success.
Mm. You say, throughout, he did in broader support than just in the state, you think, at times. there was some broader recognition, you believe? Of
well, I'm thinking of the kind of support that he got mainly through his alumni.
Yeah.
There were students that went elsewhere, some of them did extremely well, and this reflected well in the college.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
He was an excellent planner on the one hand, good when it comes to the strategy of what it takes to get where you want to go, and he was also a real good insider, a good tactician. Whenever he fought for one of his principles or for his Cal Poly, he chose the ground. And to my knowledge, he never lost. He won every single one of them. I got to know him, I think, quite well after I came here as academic vice chancellor. Because Cal Poly represented a kind of challenge to the trustees. Trustees wanted to make the California State College system a system of bona fide colleges, real colleges. And to them, this meant, as to me, this meant a base of liberal arts on which you would build whatever apply to professional programs we're going to offer. They are resolved to set the programs up in this way, with the liberal arts being given the number one priority, in part because they felt also that some of the applied fields, especially professional education, had been given top priority, and it's time now to even things up. Mm-hmm. And this meant that one of the first major projects of the trustees, the setting up of a master curricular plan, Cal Poly emerged as a real challenge. But Judith McPhee was able to weather this storm, as he saw it, to get recognition that Cal Poly was different.
In the Enabling Act
that's right.
Situation.
He constantly came back to this. He, if his voice wasn't loud enough, then the voice of some of the legislators was also heard. And as a result, the nature of the curriculum didn't change very much. But there has been change nonetheless. I think there's no question but that the liberal arts base of that program on both campuses is far stronger than it was. You probably remember that the mathematics, a lot of it used to be arithmetic. And a great deal of this is gone now. They've substituted real college level work, the new admissions requirements. Have meant a group of students, a student body that's better qualified for college work. The widening of the curriculum has meant a higher proportion of faculty in other fields in support of the applied. And I suppose really what's happened is that if you look at it on the positive side, the McPhee idea has been strengthened, and the educational program has been improved without losing its identity. On the other side, it's still not a program which is based upon the liberal arts. It's one which makes some use of the liberal arts, as you know, and which is still largely an undergraduate program. Since he left, the development of Cal Poly Pomona, Kellogg Voorhees, has been more rapid than the case of SLO. They have moved farther away from the kind of institution they used to be. There is still the core of the applied program there, but it's becoming, it is much more now like the other state colleges than it does now. So it's been a long campaign that joined the fee and retired wages. And I think from this point of view, he achieved about what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I might add, I should have mentioned at the very beginning, that immediately after the Board of Trustees took over, there was a challenge of the trustees, a direct challenge, which he met personally and survived. The trustees, who some of whom wanted to just wipe out this program and substitute for it the regular liberal arts program, were not able to do so. But Julian McPhee, his influence was not limited to that institution. He had considerable effect upon the system as a whole, in meetings of the presidents. He was always listened to. And as a matter of fact, in the years preceding the setting up of the Board of Trustees, he usually was the president of the president. He chaired their meetings and was really the chief policy officer of all the state colleges. But his philosophy of education, partly through the representation that he made himself, partly through his own people, who are scattered throughout the institution, some of them here in this office, have had a very real effect on the development of the state college. And I think that that the development of applied programs in the other state colleges owes a great deal to him. He was their champion too.
That's all right, I wondered about that point. If there had been a broader influence and somewhat.
Yes. Trying to think of a specific.
Well, none of them have, to the extent that SLO has had this parallel curriculum, however, does it, or do they, or
no,
not?
No, but they're applying.
Yeah, right.
Sure,
yeah.
No industrial arts, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
but they're not the kind that's offered at SLO.
Mm-hmm.
Since Julian McPhee, well, let me say one other thing about that his influence was felt by the presidents, by the trustees, by the faculty as a whole within the state colleges. To many of them, Julian McPhee was a great big bear that you wanted to stay away from. And who was used, I know for a fact, to frighten faculty members. You know, this is what can happen to you here unless you do so and so. And as such, the power that this man had was not as great as some people represented it to be. But I think that even among those who were philosophically 180 degrees away from it, there was a great deal of respect which they had for him, and I was one of those. Who was about as far away as I expect anyone could be. Yet I got to know him very well, and we sort of worked out a means of living together with a person of this size and influence. You had to do this, you couldn't ignore it. And as a matter of fact, when he died, I went up to SLO at that last event, represented Chancellor, and delivered the most laudatory statement about any man that I've ever given, and I did it very sincerely. Though if you asked me 7 years ago if I were to do that someday, I would have laughed.
Yeah.
But the two institutions now, because he was such a strong figure, are kind of plunged into autonomy and independence. And they have gotten now to learn how to do a lot of things that they've had no experience in. Applies in particular to the faculty. It applies to the students in part. And all of the committee structures and senates and councils, etc., that the other colleges have worked out slowly, laboriously over a period of years, they must work out very quickly. And I think that they're doing it very well. But my point was that mm-hmm. this is one of the results of having such a strong man
mm-hmm.
dominating both institutions and both campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that SLO, under the direction of Bob Kennedy, has got a kind of head start because he knows that institution so well and they know him so well. And in some ways, it's even though he was named president of that institution after Kramer was named down here at Kellogg, still I think that SLO has moved faster and farther in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got to know Kennedy very well because when policy discussions were held between the Chancellor and UNPP, the two staff men who had to work it out were Kennedy and me.
Mm-hmm.
And though our philosophies were different, we also worked out a way of getting at things that I think
I see you placing strong emphasis upon the institutional nature of the state colleges. Almost was a sort of a spokesman for the university within the state college system in the later years. But I didn't know if he ever came around to the idea of accepting the fact that state colleges were going to move in a somewhat more than just a strictly local institutional nature. And I.
Well, you know, the premise of the curriculum at SLO was, as far as this office was concerned, as far as he was concerned, trustee, was that this was a statewide institution. It's the only one we mm-hmm. had. Kellogg Gordy's never was.
Yeah.
It was always regional. How long that will hold true, I'm not sure, but it's still there,
mm-hmm.
the premise. Mm-hmm. And it's fairly sound.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'd been very thankful, and but
we miss him. simply because he was such a figure and wielded so much influence. No one has taken his place system-wide. I expect no one will.
Mm-hmm. Difficult today to do that.
No, it's a different era.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And anyone tried it, they just couldn't be done. But I would guess, too, as the years go by, the rough edges will wear off and you'll emerge as a more and more attractive person.
Mm-hmm.
You forget some of these sharp things. This is the proper time to write at least the first biography.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this not too long ago that he would be a wonderful subject for dissertation.
Yeah.
It's a concise subject. All your information is here. A lot of the people are still around. It's true, it extends over 44 years. But
yeah.
You've got an ideological focus for it in a way.
Yeah. I'm taking, you know, as a major advocate for vocational education in higher education in the state, this carrying this theme through, and it seemed to me to be a very, I don't know who would match him. I mean, there's some people writing like Ed Lee, who used to be quite a strong writer and so forth in vocational affairs, but I didn't know if anyone else in the state really matched him as far as the persistence and, you know, this man had an institution that he built and used to further it in very concrete ways, and I didn't know if it could be matched here in the state, but as you said, it's a good topic.
Did President Kennedy tell you that Jim McPhee was really editing his own papers when he died, or when throwing out something,
right,
putting things in order?
Yeah.
I don't know whether there would be anything about it,
yeah.
I
have one.
Whatever he did was first class. You might argue with the assumptions on which he based what he did. But if you didn't look at that and looked at what he did and how he did it, it was always done extremely well. And this was far more than just curriculum development. It meant that the banquets that he held, everybody looked forward to, and everything was just so. It meant that a meeting was always on time, all the facilities were available. Everything was done in such a way as to get the very most out of what you had, and this means simply high standards that were met. So this helped a lot. And that's another reason we're missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he was chancellor's office here in 1961, or when was it?
Well, it was actually at the end of 61.
The end of 61.
And
the title was.
Maybe this is a good example of Jim McPhee getting involved in things. I came here. I was dean of liberal arts at San Fernando Valley State College. Bill Gallagher had just been appointed chancellor. The trustees decided that he would be inaugurated, and it would be a super inauguration, the chancellor of an entire system. Someone had to plan it, so I was loaned from my president to the office over in Inglewood at the time to set this up. And I was at work on this when suddenly Buell Gallagher resigned and returned to New York. But one of the first things that we did was to involve Julian McPhee in the planning for this inauguration, realizing that by so doing we ensured its success. If he approved it and would place his institution, the source of his institution at our disposal, it would work, and it did. He appointed a staff member, who is now a member of the staff here, to work with me, and it was the most wonderful arrangement for something of this kind that I'd ever seen. But then Bill Gallagher was a case in which you needed his help, and he was able to give it, and it would have made, I think, a very fine contribution for him.
Mm-hmm.
that time on, I've been involved with him pretty closely.
And now you're Vice Chancellor of Academic Affairs, the exact title?
Yeah, then I returned a few months later as that.
Yeah.
I've just been talking to Dr. Raymond, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D-A, Jerry Rydell, R-Y-D-E-L-L, Executive Vice Chancellor, Charge of Academic Affairs. Next interview will be with Glenn Dumpke, Chancellor of the State College System, January 30th, 1968, Dale Moody, doing the interviewing.